This is 89.1 WEMU, and we welcome you to this month's edition of First Friday Focus on the Environment. I'm David Fair, and on the first Friday of each month, we are joined by the Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters, Lisa Wozniak. This month, we will address the growing issues of water contamination in Michigan, and specifically this month, what is being referred to as PFAS.
Yes, this is an interesting new to some, but it's been around for a long time, contaminant that is in a family of contaminants, per- or polyfluoroalkyl substances. They're known as PFCs, PFOAs, PFOSs, that's in Teflon, Scotchgard, water, all kinds of waterproofing for shoes, clothing, firefighting foam, and it doesn't break down very easily in the environment, and it tends to bioaccumulate. So, yeah, it's becoming more and more prevalent. It's in at least 14 or 15 different communities around the state of Michigan.
And once it becomes a part of the human biochemistry, it can be toxic and cancer-causing.
It can cause a lot of different challenges. Thyroid, they're doing studies on cancer. Yes, a lot.
But all of a sudden, it's in the public eye, and that's where our guest comes in this morning. He's been studying the issue and working to educate lawmakers and those charged with cleaning up the current problems and preventing such future incidents. Tony Spagnola is an attorney and became personally affected when PFAS became a contamination issue in Oscoda, where the contaminant was first discovered emanating from the Wirt Smith Air Force Base in 2011. Tony, thank you very much for the time today.
Thank you.
Tony, you're a second-generation homeowner on the lake, as I understand it, right across the lake from the Air Force Base. And for you, when did this issue come to light?
The issue first came to light in 2016 for us personally. As I think David mentioned earlier, it was first discovered here in Oscoda in 2011, primarily in the Clark's Marsh, Ausable River area to the south of the former base. Our place is located to the east, across the lake from it, and we had heard that contaminants had begun to, or they had found that the contaminants had moved in that direction. We're initially informed that it couldn't, that the contaminants couldn't make it across the lake, and then late in 2016, we got the word that, yeah, in fact, they not only can, but they did, and the health department and the DEQ set up what they called a zone of concern of potential contamination, and we happened to be just inside it. And it was at that point that I started kind of digging in and doing some research to figure out, what was going on.
And I assume the zone of concern became a zone of alarm.
You are correct.
And what kind of levels are we looking at there?
Well, it depends. On the base itself, the levels are really high. Astronomically high. On our side of the lake, it varies. Our particular well came back at non-detect, but that was just one test. So on our side of the lake, probably, you'll see things in the actual water wells of, maybe 10 to 30 to 40, somewhere in there. It just depends. But you're also seeing it in the lake, we now have a problem with foam that's been accumulating and containing these contaminants that wash up on the beaches, and the numbers in the foam have just been, off the charts.
Not safe for human exposure.
No. The health department has said you shouldn't ingest it, which is not a great surprise, but no, that's correct.
Well, Lisa, since the time the PFAS have been discovered in 30 different spots in 15 different communities across the state, to the public, as we kind of touched on, this seems like a brand new issue. And you mentioned that it's nothing new. We've known about these chemicals since the 1970s. Are there examples from other parts of the country that we might learn from here in Michigan and get a little further along in dealing with the issue?
Absolutely. And I think I'd like to just emphasize that, people like to call this emergent. There's nothing emergent about this. We have known about these for decades. And two recent lawsuits that were actually settled, one just this year, actually, 3M reached a settlement with the state of Minnesota. It was actually a $3 billion lawsuit. They agreed to an $850 million settlement. Basically, it was PFCs, illegal dumping, groundwater contamination, drinking water threats. And now that money is going to be going to the state for water quality protection programs. And then, I think it was 2017, there was also a huge lawsuit that has become now a National Geographic film, Toxic Water, it's called. But it was DuPont and a Teflon issue. a huge lawsuit that 3M lab study had indicated years prior that there were health impacts coming from the development, the production of Teflon. And DuPont settled in 2017 for $671 million. And this was linked to all sorts of, you know, health issues in the people and the communities there.
Once again, it seems as though we become aware of things, we kick the can down the road, and then pay the consequences later. You're listening to First Friday Focus on the Environment. We continue on 89.1 WEMU. My co-host is Lisa Wozniak. She's the executive director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters. Our guest is attorney Tony Spagnola. He's become a citizen advocate and educator when it comes to the issues of PFAS contamination. And Tony, we've now found PFAS in Ann Arbor drinking water. There's, of course, the Wolverine worldwide situation in West Michigan that has drawn the most attention and made the public most aware. Based on your research, are we going to continue to find more and more sites contaminated with these potentially cancer-causing chemicals?
Definitely. To quote an expert from the DEQ, and this is a direct quote, you sample any water in Michigan, just about, you're going to find it.
That's frightening.
Yeah, it's in all the Great Lakes as well.
So where is the state and the EPA succeeding with PFAS, and where, in your estimation, are they failing?
Well, the EPA really hasn't done much in Michigan. I understand that they're getting involved at the Wolverine site. The EPA has actually been, the EPA was actually a problem back in that Parkersburg, West Virginia situation. They actually sat on information that the lawsuit had to, you know, kind of pry loose. So the EPA has set a 70 parts per trillion lifetime health advisory for two of the PFAS substances, PFOA and PFOS, but that is only a guidance limit. Here in Michigan, the DEQ found this initially at the Wordsmith Air Force Base back in 2011. They've done some things. State could have done a lot more, a lot sooner, based on the information that they had here from Wordsmith. And really, it wasn't until Wordsmith began, you know, we've been messing around up here for 7-8 years, and that sort of intersected with the Wolverine lawsuit and brought a lot of public attention. And so DEQ now, I think, is beginning to really start to dig in. We also have the Alpena Army Base, the Grayling Base, the K.I. Sawyer Base, the Selfridge Base down in the Detroit area. And so as those things have come out into the public eye, we've seen, you know, some more activity. But sadly, our politicians and our elected officials haven't shown the political will to fund the DEQ. I mean, they just appropriated $23 million, which unfortunately is just a drop in the bucket. And when you talk to folks on the ground at the DEQ and in the health department, they're spread very, very thin. This $23 million will help, but we need a lot more.
I want to, as our time starts to run out together, give a question to both of you, and perhaps the answer lay within what Tony just said, Lisa. What needs to happen now to protect our water future?
I have three immediate answers to that. One is Representative Winnie Brinks has introduced a bill last December. She introduced it in the legislature that would create an enforceable drinking water standard in Michigan around PFAS. If it was passed, it would be the nation's toughest. That's number one. Number two is we should absolutely not pass a bill that's actually been put forth, which has basically been called No Stricter Than Federal, which would prevent Michigan from doing just what I said, which is passing strong laws to actually address this. And third, linking back to Tony's point, is we need to ask every single person who wants to seek elected office in this state what they plan to do about this huge issue and hold them accountable to doing so should they be elected.
And Tony, same question. What, in your view, needs to happen now to protect the future?
Well, we need to find ways to cut the contamination off at the sources. That's one of the things we're advocating here in Oscoda. And also to stop the continued flow of these chemicals into our environment. There are over 400 PFAS compounds, and we're talking about two of them at this point. They're in just about everything, and you know we've got to find a way to cut these things off at the source. I want to leave you with a quote. This is from the director of the CDC National Center for Environmental Health. And he has stated that PFAS will be one of the most seminal public health challenges for the next decades. We think that hundreds of millions of Americans will be drinking water with high levels of these chemicals above levels of concern. We as the public have got to start demanding that our politicians and our elected officials pay attention to this issue, and we have to remember that our democracy is not a spectator sport. We need to get involved, and we need to hold our public officials accountable to take care of our public health and make it a priority.
And Tony, we are going to have to leave it there, but thank you for all of your input today. I do appreciate it.
Thank you.
That is Tony Spagnola, who has become a citizen advocate and educator when it comes to the issues of PFAS. And Lisa Wozniak, we'll see you in May for the next edition of First Friday Focus on the Environment.
I look forward to it, David.
Lisa's executive director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters and our content partner for this monthly feature. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.